Hi, welcome to LA Lit. We're here with Catherine Daly today. LA Lit is a literary podcast wherein we interview writers from Los Angeles and or writers passing through Los Angeles. We are at la-lit.com. We're here at Beta Level in Chinatown. You can find out about events at Beta Level at betalevel.com, and we're sponsored by Superbunker. And you can find out about Superbunker at superbunker.com. Lots of websites. I'm Matthew Timmons.
And I'm Stephanie Ryu. Like Matt said, today we're happy to have Catherine Daly. She is the author of the forthcoming Vauxhall out on Shearsman next year and Heavy Rotation on BlazeVox this year, as well as five other fabulous books, including Da Da Da, Lock It, To Delight and Instruct, Papercraft, and Chanteuse Cantatrice, some ebooks and e-chaps, Papercraft, Secret Kitty, Kittenhood, Boy Girl Boy, The Last Canto, Glosses, Makeup, and many chapbooks and ephemeral publications. While she founded IE Press at about the same time she moved to Los Angeles, she just began publishing books. She began reviewing and writing essays about poetry about 10 years ago and earned an MFA about 17 years ago. She has curated reading series in Hartford, New York, and Los Angeles, and she has been a car hop, a DJ, an astrologer, a building contractor, and a senior technology manager. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thanks.
So I think you're going to start with a reading, but we're going to have a little...
We need our sound cue.
Yeah. I'll be right there.
To focus on sound and music because this is a podcast, and I thought that that would fit both my poems and the medium. And I thought that the sound of music, because it refers to a musical set during World War II, isn't a bad way to introduce my most recent book, which is on Factory School. And it's two books in one, and I'm going to start by reading the title poem of the Chanteuse book. Chanteuse. I will sing the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all. Only reading the first part of quotes as a singer, I will sing, with my mouth I will. He is not exalted, my heart is not. My favorite quotes begin, I sing. Then I open my mouth and start singing. Do the birds, hills sing? They echo. Sing, softened iron, tensile steel, commodity, technology, fuses, jets, the V2, croon, amphibious landing craft, subatomic particle. We navigate by sound and range. Who sustain the throne, sing. Sing like a canary, who sing, believe, springtime for Hitler and Germany. A song requests its process and its mirror, communicates, reflects, is singing, singing? For part of the night, sing and sing at the retreat of the stars, retired from daylight, engaged in hidden song and mortification, affliction, addiction, revealing close intimacy, not open, not out. Apollo is crushed, bright sun, chariot, pastoral home from war, from punishment, compartmentalized worship, dialectic, write and teach, memorize and mouth the words. Did they not sing to him dancing? Sing your name, sing to your name, sing you, sing in the camp, sing Holocaust, sing peace, sing sacrificing jubilation, song instrument, Jew's harp. The saint of 1925, youthful, austere, no sleeves, half knit. I should have looked prettier with bare arms. intense delivery, self-effacement, and effort imply treasures revealed by raw voice, heart on the street like a ball, chew toy. Unless we become as little children, the story doesn't start. I began my eternal song, emit, admit. Love is bitter, but one who does not resist the characteristic of love, self-abasement, send, let go. Poverty consists in deprivation not only of convenience, but of necessity, life, love, process. So I wanted to kind of start off with that which at the beginning of my search for female writers, because I use a lot of writing by other female writers as an influence, I of course came across female lyricists, and Chanteuse uses Thérèse of Lisieux, but also Piaf and other Chanteuses in their writing. And I wanted to continue that theme with an earlier poem that also uses female lyricists. This poem is from Da Da Da. It's called Commutare, and it uses female country and western lyricists. So not the performers, but the actual people who wrote the lyrics are female, and Hadovich of Brabant's writing. But the pronoun for God in her writing is switched to be female. So this is called Commutare. Beloved inhabits beloved, cheek to cheek, toe to toe, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, red in tooth and claw. One flows through both, through each. Two skins like one, tangled, touch. One over one makes one. She touches you, you thought? Who does what? Here you come again, messing up my mind, filling up my senses. Coveted, covered, cosseted, concealed, opaque, her nobility, noble, to know, tongue-tied, you have no sense of her, of fear. A body instructs. She shows you how to move in her. She says love suffers. What can a body say? Shocked with love's sugar, you sipping her, she suffices. Drown in sweet splendor. Whisper to her flesh, loving you might be a habit I can't break. Anxious, you swim to her source. She plays deep. You bite a slow fish. You taste her designs. She insinuates, essential as oxygen. Love patterns you. She flings you out onto shore. You spin from love. Carry one to make two. Take one from one. Why did you leave? Love's plans, pins, pains, pangs accompany love with love. My cold, cold heart won't let me sleep. Not dumb or unreasonable, no reasonable man. Love loathes logic, all that lies within, above, below. Contra reason, love is, derives nothing from it. Reason neither subtracts nor performs any other love operation. Love's reason's metaphor. Desire dwells in love. Touch her secret name. Love is touch, is shh, listen. Desire consumes desire. Do you touch you? Tra-la-li-la triangle. My life's in such a tangle. Signs exchanged as consumed. She turns your inner wrist's skin. You pulse under hers. Your happy calamity, accidental touch, no deliberate. Without concern, she you, you her, her you, you, she, yours, no, yes, yes. The heart tastes violet, violent, deathless death, senseless scent, two arms to cling to. While you can't love peace, winsome in the eye of war. Beauty communicates love, coddles, cuddles, huddles, hides. Confessing herself, her conduct is impulsive. She springs. Love is a fiery ring. Who courts love? Love loudly calls. This is the craft. She guides you. Love can't recollect. You conceive love, who owns you, a new present. You remain yourself and will. Even if no one loved her, her name, her nature, her name, her works, outside her name, her crown, soil beneath the soles of her feet returns to her her loveliness.
Thank you. So I wanted to ask just kind of right off, because you told us that all the readings you were going to do today on the show were kind of like having something to do with music or song, because it's a podcast or whatever, and which I think is great. And I wanted to ask about frameworks kind of in your work as a whole. You've read at Beta Level before, and you've also kind of brought a kind of like a thing that you were going to do, you know, it's a way, it's these loose frameworks that you use, and not always loose, but if you could talk about that kind of tendency in your work.
Well, I think part of it is that I'm not interested so much in new form, and I'm not very much interested in old form. I'm interested in kind of using what I know or capitalizing on that to make a made thing that no one's made before. So it's, and part of what I know, and I think a lot of people know, is pop music. And, you know, I think we all have a knowledge of pop music or lyrics in music or songs way before we have any kind of knowledge of lyric poetry. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. Part of what I want to read next is probably more informed by having been a DJ when I was in college, which is when I started writing. So I kind of started writing at the same time I started becoming very familiar with things like remixing and sampling and cover versions and, you know, things like that. And I think it's fair to say that those are techniques, the great techniques, or not necessarily new techniques, but I think they're ones that translate well into poetry that I don't see a lot of other people capitalizing on.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of what I'm about. When I came here before, part of my paper craft book is folded paper objects, and that's kind of something that's really fun to do in a group, but it's so visual I didn't want to do it this afternoon. Yeah. Is kind of like everyone gets a piece of paper and can fold the object and can read it and read it to each other. And
yeah.
No, I'm glad you're focusing on sound today, because it's quite apparent in your work how deep your relationship is just with the sound of English and all the wealth that it can provide to poetry or anything. And I just would like to hear you talk about that relationship and your comforts and discomforts there. Other critics have mentioned the sound in your work and how you sing, and as if it's sort of, you know, not done that often anymore, and like how you come to that and what it means to you. And
well, I think yeah, I don't I'm not very interested in kind of sound as iambic pentameter. I used to tell my students, you know, I have a heart murmur, you know, I'm slightly tone deaf. Any kind of thing that people say, well, iambic pentameter is actually natural, you know, it's the heartbeat, it's, you know, the whatever, and it's like, well, it's not how my heart beats, but I think it's that, it's the way that sound is appealing to me. One of the things that I had prepared to say was that, you know, I took piano lessons for I don't know how many years, a really long time, and I never really got it. I understood, okay, I can make all these sounds and I could even write new songs with these same notes and everything, and you have more notes, you know, with music than you do with, you know, letters in the alphabet, but you don't have, it didn't click for me, never, that sense of endless possibility in language, and that way that there's so much that hasn't been done yet that is kind of magical and ephemeral at the same time. Clicked more for me in language, but part of it is the musicality of language, and that kind of versus just being able to play music. Never clicked for me in the same way.
You just said how there's like, you feel like there's so many things that haven't been done in language, or there's like an infinite possibility. And it's funny because I think about, we were talking about this before the show, about how, you do definitely do certain, at times, do some kind of appropriative writing, like picking up other forms or picking up other language and turning it into something else. Like even the poem from Da Da Da, you're like borrowing lyrics from songs and stuff like that. And we were, you know, I've always wondered, like, I feel like there's a lot of appropriative writing going on in Los Angeles, but if you can talk about that in your own work and maybe a little bit about, like, do you feel like it's different doing appropriative writing in Los Angeles? Is there something different about that, or?
And we were talking about it before, and one of the things I've been thinking about, not specifically in Los Angeles, but in general, because I just had to put together a syllabus that may never get taught for a job I'm applying for. And one of the courses I've taught previously was film and lit. And I did mostly Los Angeles film and lit. And I think for a variety of reasons, maybe one of them is the lack of creativity on the part of people who are developing films right now, is that everything is getting remade and adapted and remade and adapted over and over and over again. And, you know, one of the jokes from college, you know, one of the great college movies was, you know, Evil Dead and then Evil Dead 2, not a sequel, a remake. And then they remade Evil Dead. And they remade Evil Dead 2. And it was just totally destroyed the whole idea. But there's that kind of, I think, too, in Los Angeles, and you see it here more keenly in the stories about Los Angeles, and then just because the music industry and the film industry are headquartered here, you see this kind of the way that the old TV shows and the old movies have become like fairy tales or myths, and they're infinitely remade in a way that you probably don't see as much in New York.
Yeah. But can you talk about more directly like your use of appropriation in your work too?
Well, one of the things that I'm trying to make use of things that get overlooked, and I'm very much trying to deliberately kind of frame what I'm doing in the realm of women's writing. So I had to, immediately, I think, if you're really interested in women's writing or trying to find it or look for it, you immediately say, you know what, there's not enough women's poetry. So I'm going to look at everything that women wrote, no matter what it was, if it was published or not, you know, just to find out what it is. So, you know, I'm looking at a lot of cookbooks right now. You know, because that the first book published here in the United States was I think Fanny Farmer's cookbook. In Hartford, Connecticut, of all places. But, you know, so that is real women's writing. And a time period where you're saying, well, where are all the women writing? You know, who are, you know, what? Well, they're writing cookbooks. They're not writing novels that are best-selling or whatever. So part of that is to try to... if you're going to use a voice, you want, I at least, if I want to use somebody else's writing as a tool to get at my own, then I want to use something that I want to bring attention to. I don't want to use something that I hate or is violent or is not about, you know.
You mentioned too previously about, we talked a little bit about how the eye works in that scenario. Maybe you could speak to that a little bit, because you said you wanted to use the eye, but in appropriation it sort of gives you a little bit of freedom that you might not have had.
The piece I just read is from a long project, and part of what it's doing is it's about confessional poetry. And the idea is that going through kind of a survey of 20th century poetry ideas and techniques and philosophies, it's all actually about confessional poetry without being about a number of people in Boston who committed suicide, you know, several years ago. You know, to say that, you know, I can write confessional poetry and it's all real emotion and I can tap that, but I don't have, and it will really be about me, but I don't have to tell you a boring story about my life or kind of dramatize, you know, the minor traumas that as a middle class person I've suffered from.
I'd like to tie that into your work as distaff and especially your attention to medieval women mystics and the very different kinds of confessions they make and the themes that come up therein. Like there's a lot of sexuality and love and things like this that also come up strongly in your work, love chiefly.
Yeah, there's also a way that it's all love poetry, which really is the best kind to write. To write anyway. One of the reasons that I locked into the mystics is that I was a religion major undergrad and my specialty was mysticism. And so I was very interested in the way that, you know, the mysticism, you know, rule of thumb is experience, especially this specific class of experiences, is ineffable. There is no way to describe it or even indicate it or talk about it using language or any other means. That in a certain way, experience is untranslatable and irreducible. And so that and the idea of the confessional is, you know, very powerful. And then the other reason that these mystics were really important was that they had different kinds. The reason that their writing was recorded was because they were all on trial during the Inquisition. So either they became saints or they were executed. And while these women were testifying and it was recorded or writing stuff down and they were using vernacular because they weren't taught Latin, they were at pains to, figure out, well, I'm not educated, so I know that what I'm going to say is going to be wrong. I know that I'm going to be judged, and I know what I'm going to say is going to be wrong. So basically, I can say, well, this is my own experience. Or I can say, I don't know what I'm talking about, but you're asking me, so I'm going to answer you. There are these different things. And some of the, especially one woman knew that she was a heretic. She knew that she was just beyond the pale. So she started making stuff up. And I thought that was kind of great. She said, this is my chance. This is my writing. And I'm gonna die anyway. So I am going to say whatever I want to.
Kind of on a completely different subject, but something I was thinking about with your writing, and maybe it relates, but for instance, it relates to the fact that we're talking about that all writing is love poetry. Like Locket, it just seems like one long love poem, I mean, obviously it's different poems. But again, like you were talking about with confessional, it's like you don't really, your version of playing with a confessional form, it's like, you never feel like in Locket and in parts of Da 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 that it's like this, outpouring of a I am a subject and I'm going to tell you this is my subjecthood and this is my subject position and I need you to hear about it and value it. And I'd like to think that it's the reason that doesn't happen in your work is it's these constant kind of interruptions or disruptions of language. Like, I mean, I guess it's the work of a poet in any way, but there's certain kinds of twists in things that don't quite work, but then do or something. And I'm thinking about it in other books too. Like constantly there's like this other voice or something else that's coming in and disrupting a normal flow of a poem. Does that make sense? So I'm just wondering if you can talk about, different ways of different types of disruption in language and if that's, if that's something you're working with consciously or if maybe I'm just reading it in. And that kind of subjectivity. In some of the writing.
Well, with Locket, it was actually part of the kind of poetic from that came from an unsuccessful job interview I had in New York a long time ago, and it was for a computer company that eventually, especially on Clear Channel stations replace DJs with computer programming songs, and then they would just have canned DJs on tape, thousands of miles away, doing the little song introductions and stuff, and then they were just installing these computers to replace the soundboards at all these radio stations, and they needed somebody like me to write the technical support. And I went to this interview and I wanted the job. But I also realized, well, this is the death of radio. But what I explained to the the head of the company actually was, he said, you know, your documentation is, it looks like a comic book. You know, it kind of reads like it, it's so visual, it's fun, you know, as far as this kind of stuff goes. And I said, well, what I want to do is I want to make bright, shiny things, you know, like toys. And that's my goal. And so in a way, Lockett, the idea was that those love poems would be, well, like the whole Lockett idea is the hinge of the book is the hinge of the Lockett, mm-hmm. you know, and that it would be this kind of bright, you know, each love poems are different than other poems because they're kind of inscribed in a way. They're kind of written on your heart. They're kind of, they are more thing-like than a lot of other poems. And they're tokens that are exchanged. Even if you take like a Frank O'Hara, you know, this, my poem is like a phone conversation, you know, or you know, a love poem is like that too. It's like this, it's frozen.
To come back to the sound issue, it seems like a lot of the reverie involved is with language itself, in your work, or at least that's what comes across nicely.
Because language is the material that you're building it out of, and so you've got to trust in your materials, and you've got to consider your materials. You know, you're not going to use bricks to build a table.
Yeah.
I guess. So that's part of it too. And part of it is also, how do you get sound out of a bunch of letters on a page that are printed? You know, how do you do that trick where it's you can read it and get the same sound, especially if you're not relying on this apparatus of form?
Yeah. Well, did you want to do, you had another reading and then we'll take a break, yeah?
Yes, I'm going to read from Heavy Rotation, which is Jeffrey Gatza at Blaze Vox has been waiting almost a year for this book. And it is like my DJ hood. It's based on covers and remakes and versions and cheap puns. So, for example, there's an obad that's Tony Orlando and Dawn lyrics. There's a spring, summer, fall, winter poems, seasonal poems, Donna Summer, Bruce Springsteen, the fall, Marky Smith, and Johnny Winter. And so I'm going to read two cantos, the first and the last, of a version of the Divine Comedy, which is Journey lyrics put into tercets. And then I'm going to read two rondeaux made from Circle Jerks lyrics. So this is Journey. The sound of life misplaced my mind. I'm putting all I'm thinking down and taking a long and distant search. I'm strolling through a summer's breeze. It's not the rain. I'll find a way, open my ears and eyes, see what I find. Something's unfolding. I won't run away. I've come here because there is nowhere else to go. I go on through days. I wonder and wander. I can't stop feeling, no disbelieving. Under my feet, I feel a rumble. Some slip and slide through life, moving like the waves in a sink. I would find you. Well, I would find a place to be. Won't you stay with me? You can help us see here we are if you'll just stay with me a while. And so then this is the last one. Oh, my lady's so hard to find. I try and keep it simple. She's not too far away, moving slow, moving sweet and simply, taking time to say, the way to being simple, is to forget the past. I'm moving slowly at last. How could it be so simple? To forget the way, a way to being simple. I never feel this way. You keep the motor humming. Loving you is easy. You opened the door. I covered you with roses. Like stars at night, I covered you with love. The wheel in the sky keeps turning. And these are two anti-war rondo. Don't be at war. Live fast, die young. Get fucked up, pass out on the floor. Live fast, die young. I hate what's going around me. Get some more from the liquor store. Fucked up, I don't know what for. Live fast, die young. And this one is dedicated to Carolyn Bergvall. Peace, Adam. Go on out. Get some more. Go on out for some s'mores. Go through doorways. Going out. Go and get them out. Whatever they are. Guana out. Adams at him. Go on. Get going out.
Nice. Thanks.
Thanks.
So we'll take a short break and then come back.